Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Welcome in to Mornings with Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Happy to have you. Action-packed show 30 minutes from now. Super Bowl champ, four-time Pro Bowler Drew Bledsoe coming by to talk about the situation with Tony Romo and Dak Prescott, as well as the quarterback situations in San Francisco and Oakland. 8:45, we've got Bruno Mars tickets to give away. He's going to be playing two shows in the Bay in a few months. You get to pick which show you'd like to go to if you win. Ticket window opens at 8:45. Tim Roy at 9. But gentlemen, we start with the biggest story on the planet. No, it's not politics. No, it's not the Warriors game. And no, it's not Prescott and Tony Romo. United States men's national team, Dibs.
I'm good. You keep bringing this back up, and the pain runs deep. To lose to Costa Rica in Costa Rica, fine. They're a good team. You're expected to do so. But 4-0? 4-0, though? It's awful. Ferocious. You got to show up, U.S. Act like it matters to you.
Is it time to dump Jurgen Klinsmann?
Yes, it is. We talk coach's hot seat. His seat's so hot he can't sit down right now.
Oh, my.
Now.
Oh, my.
It's like sitting on a stove, Lo.
Wow.
And I know that hindsight is 20/20, but many of us have been saying for a while that it's time to make a coaching change.
We will be all over this story.
No, we won't.
For exactly 0 seconds more the rest of the way out. But for now, here comes your morning update.
You keep punching me in the gut with that, Joe. It's personal. It hurt. He teabagged me, love.
Teabagged you, Dibs.
Warriors opening up their trip in Canada, gentlemen. That's our top story. It's a 4-game roadie. Warriors 8-2. Game and a half back of the Clippers. In the Pacific Division, Steve Kerr talked about how critical Zaza Pachulia will be.
We're so lucky to have him. He could have gone elsewhere and made more money. But he's smart. He's tough. He'll make his little 15-foot jump shot if people back off him. So they have to honor him. Really good passer. So he's done a great job. He's exactly what we needed.
The Pachulia matchup against Jonas Valanciunas, Joe, is that the key one-on-one tonight?
Oh, absolutely. Jonas Valanciunas, one of the best big men in the game. But not only that, that's the Achilles heel, or the perceived Achilles heel, as it pertains to this Golden State Warriors roster through 10 games. With the extra rest, heading into Toronto to face a Raptor team that played a real great game against the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. They had to travel back. You've got that advantage. Let's see if the Dubs can take advantage.
Story number two, Sharks drop their first game on this 6-game road trip, falling to Carolina 1-0. The backup goalie had quite a day for San Jose.
Meanwhile, on the far side of the ice, Brett Pesce tried to stick handle in deep, and he does. He drops it back to Ryan and feeds in front all by himself. Jordan Staal turns, and it's stopped by Aaron Dell. He stops another rebound from Staal on the severe angle on the left wing side, and it winds up in back of the net. But that's going to give you a lot of confidence when your goaltender can stop Jordan Staal on a couple of plays like that.
Aaron Dell stopped 32, but they lose to Carolina 1-0. Story number three, Alabama remains on top of the latest college football playoff standings. Ohio State 2, Michigan 3. Clemson is 4, Stanford at number 24. Getting ready for the big game Saturday in Berkeley against Cal. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley on your new home of the Golden State Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, Dibs. Quick aside, as it pertains to the Michigan Wolverines, you can't be a 22-23-point favorite, lose outright to Iowa, and not even move in the rankings. You got to be kidding me. They were 3. They went into Iowa. I understand people slip up, but like Washington, USC, at least that was within about a touchdown, the spread there. You had a closer game. It was expected to be a closer game. Michigan got beat by Iowa as 22-point favorites, and they don't even move in the rankings? They're teabagging us, Dibs. That's what they're doing. These guys are teabagging us. That's how it's happening. Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Premier Kia of Newark, the go-to dealer for the greater Newark area. Anyone who watched last night's Cavaliers-Raptors game will tell you that that was one of the best regular season games of the season. Your final, LeBron James and the Cavs 121, the Toronto Raptors 117, despite some questionable officiating over the final 2 minutes of that game. Questionable calls against Kyle Lowry, Jonas Valanciunas in the final 2 minutes, as well as a technical foul against Lowry that's debatable, and a possible goaltend against Cleveland in the final seconds that was not called. Dibs, as our officiating expert, is there any merit to the gripes Toronto fans are experiencing last night into this morning?
First of all, I got to blow the whistle on you trying to blow the whistle on the officials who... I watched that entire endgame sequence, and about the only call, in my opinion, that was really questionable was the foul on Kyle Lowry. It was a little bit of a gentle bump. He slams the ball down, he tries to catch it, and it goes over his head. That's an automatic technical foul. Nothing debatable about that. As far as the goaltending goes, the ball was barely, maybe, a tiny bit on the cylinder. It has to be inside the cylinder for it to be goaltending. I didn't think it was a goaltend. Either way, great game, high energy, a lot of effort. I don't think the refs had much of a hand in the outcome.
Well, if you play for the Raptors, right, you play that game, you go wire to wire with Cleveland. That's an emotional get-up game. That's one of the few teams, it's like, all right, we're getting up for this thing. This is an Eastern Conference Finals rematch. This is the team you got to get through if you want to play for a championship. You go into Cleveland last night, you go wire to wire. However you perceive the final 2 minutes of that game, the bottom line is Toronto's got to get on that plane. They got to fly home. They got to get some sleep. And now you got to get ready for the Golden State Warriors. Mentally and physically, how do you get yourself ready for those challenges tonight?
Short-term memory. You don't even watch the game. You don't watch it. You watch it later. You don't even worry about it. It's on to the Warriors. Because you're playing two of the teams that played in the NBA Finals last year, the Golden State Warriors, and you know what you've seen LeBron in Cleveland. So you're playing back-to-back nights with the NBA champion and runner-up. So I think that this is a game now that not only a measuring stick, but this is the kind of game that's going to test you mentally, test you physically, because now you've been running up and down the court and you were in a dogfight. Now you, less than 24 hours, you have to be back on the court and you got to let it go. And it's going to be imperative that, you know, that the Raptors get off, try to match the Dubs' intensity, because the Dubs are going to try to get on them quick, because this team, they got to be a little sore. They're still a little tired. Feet still hurting. Got to suck it up.
Kyle Lowry played 40 minutes last night, team high. DeMar DeRozan, who is on another planet right now, averaging 33 points per game through the first 10% of the season. He gave you 34 minutes. And then Valanciunas, the big man, also giving you 34 minutes. This is going to be the battle to watch tonight. Valanciunas against the Warriors number 5, the Warriors bigs. Who do you think is going to come out ahead? And how do you think Steve Kerr, is going to deploy his bigs tonight?
I think he deploys them as he always does. You don't change the rotation just for Valanciunas. You're going to see Zaza Pachulia early, depending how things are going. Either Draymond slides over to cover him, or you bring in David West off the bench to cover him. I think you're going to see some JaVale McGee against Valanciunas when he's on the floor. Maybe Kevon Looney gets a turn against him to see what the youngster can do defensively against a big Toronto Raptor player who's also pretty adept at scoring the basketball. But if you're the Warriors,
you run at him.
Yeah,
you do play him different. You freaking get guys involved often and early, and you come at Valanciunas and you say, look, we're going to beat him up the whole game. You put athletes on him, then you go with a faster guy. You get guys that can jump with him, then you blay on him. You have to absolutely beat this guy up.
Here's Toronto Raptors TV analyst Leo Routens, who joined us about an hour ago.
Well, he's a big physical dude. I mean, he gets after you. He likes to use his body. He's a very good offensive player. He can step out, hit a 15, 17-footer. He can go inside. He can dunk on you. You know, he's a guy that hopefully can help the Raptors establish a presence around the basket. And he'd like to be able to go at Pachulia or whoever else is going to be guarding him in the post area.
If he can give you 34, 35 minutes tonight, that's Jonas Valanciunas, the big man from Toronto. Can the Warriors counter with the death lineup, or the new-look death lineup, I should say?
Absolutely. And the key for the Warriors is the passing game, in my opinion. Golden State leads the league, averaging 30.5 assists a game. And that's always the magic number for the Warriors. If they get 30 assists, they win the basketball game. Toronto, conversely, averaging only about 18.5 assists a game. So when the ball goes into Valanciunas, you can, if the matchup is not good, if you've got Draymond on him, for example, in the Super Death lineup, you can send a second defender knowing that this is not a great passing team. So you can get help if Valanciunas has a mismatch down on the block against Draymond.
Loneil hit on this a few minutes ago. Leo Routens, again, Toronto Raptors TV analyst, on the challenges that come with this dynamic back-to-back doubleheader.
A back-to-back matchup like this is very rare in the NBA, where you're playing against the last two NBA champions back-to-back. And so it's definitely a litmus test. There's no question about that. And it, to some degree, I think the Raptors got a little taste of Golden State last night.
Well, you got to figure a big first quarter from the Warriors. Fresh legs, jump on Toronto early, put them in a hole, maybe get them second-guessing themselves, thinking about how tired they are. That the best way to try to approach this game?
Yeah, and also you make them shoot themselves back in it. You got to jump on them early, and now you said, okay, now you can take Valanciunas out of the picture, because now you said, okay, now I can go more of that depth lineup at times. So that's my thing. My thing is like, look, I got to move the ball around. I got to make this team run. You got to realize, they just got in the track meet last night with LeBron and the Cavs. You make them run early. You move the ball around early, often, pass up a good shot for a great shot, because you want to wear these guys out, make them run early, make them expend a lot of energy because they just played last night. That's the key.
Raptors fall 117-121 at Cleveland last night. Speaking of the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James with another huge effort. 38 minutes, he goes 28 points, 14 assists, 9 rebounds. One rebound shy of a triple-double with the Big O sitting courtside last night. But that's not why LeBron's making headlines. Big story breaks yesterday regarding Phil Jackson, general manager of the New York Knicks. Now, Phil recently sat down with Jackie McMullen of ESPN for an interview. In the interview, the topic of Pat Riley and the Miami Heat came up, and here's what Phil had to say. Quote, "It had to hurt when they lost LeBron. That was definitely a slap in the face, but there were a lot of little things that came out of that. When LeBron was playing with the Heat, they went to Cleveland, and he wanted to spend the night. They don't do overnights. Teams just don't. So now you've got Coach Spo. He has to text Pat Riley and say, what do I do in this situation? And Pat, who has iron fist rules, answers, you are on the plane. You are with this team. You can't hold up the whole team because you and your mom and your posse want to spend an extra night in Cleveland. Now, the word posse has obviously, if you're just waking up, caused some ripple effect amongst LeBron James and his business associates. James obviously surrounds himself with three guys he grew up with, Maverick Carter, Rich Paul, and Randy Mims, who have not only been his childhood friends, but they've been instrumental in managing his business affairs and, more importantly, his brand. Here's Maverick Carter on the Colin Cowherd Show yesterday in response to Phil Jackson's comments.
Phil is obviously a very smart guy. So when I first read it, I was taken back, and then I became angry. And I became angry because we as people, we give words power. So I happened to give that word power. And the power I gave that word was I took it as a little disrespectful. I wasn't upset that he told the story. If LeBron needs special treatment, I don't want him on the New York Knicks. If he would have said that, I have no problem. He knows what he was saying when he said that. I'm no way calling Phil Jackson a racist, but I think the word is disrespectful and demeaning. I was talking to the owner of the Cavaliers, Dan Gilbert, who rolls around with 15 every game. It's his wife and his kids, but it's also his best friends. They're his partners. And he says, no one ever refers to us as a posse. So I took it more as demeaning. Yeah. I didn't take it as like a racial slur.
And Maverick Carter, who was on with Colin Cowherd yesterday, that's what you just listened to, when he responded on Twitter immediately, he talked about the word posse being disrespectful and reiterated the fact he doesn't view it as racist. It's just disrespectful. Dibs, a lot of people weighing in on this. Some do feel it was a racist slap that Phil took at LeBron and his associates. How do you see it?
It's hard for me to say, Joe, because as a white guy, it doesn't offend me. But I'm not in a position where I've been victimized by any racism in that way, certainly. It's one of those things where if you're offended by it, and that's how you feel, and that's what Maverick Carter is saying, is, you know, we all give power to language. Whatever words are being said, each person has their own meaning that they take from it. And if he takes offense from that, then it's an offensive thing. Whether or not Phil intended it or not, if he's offended by it, then that's what it is. For me, the word posse, I don't think about necessarily a group of African Americans. I think about the Old West when I think about posse. But that's just me. And that's my life experiences.
Do you think Phil specifically chose that word, or do you think maybe he's doing an interview, it's the first thing that comes to mind, he doesn't necessarily mean any disrespect, he's not trying to convey any sort of hidden message or subliminal message with the word posse, it's just what came out of his mouth, and while he didn't mean to offend anyone, it ended up happening?
Yes. I don't think that he meant it to be an offensive way. I think he was offending LeBron for having a group of friends and having an entourage and having this posse that maybe had him be separate from his teammates. And that's probably what Phil is talking about. Phil Jackson was always, you know, the Zen master. And even though Michael Jordan was the star of the Chicago Bulls, you never got the sense that he got or asked for star treatment. And so when LeBron is holding up a plane because he's with his group of friends, that offends Phil Jackson, and maybe that's why he used that word.
Loneal, can you see why Maverick Carter and LeBron James might feel disrespected by Phil Jackson's comments, or do you think too much is being made of this?
Well, I think it's a little of both. I think, one, two wrongs don't make a right. And I think LeBron was disrespectful by trying to hold up the plane. Look, LeBron is LeBron. He gets special privileges. I get it. I mean, certain people get that, and that's just the way of the world. As a person have a disability, they get a sticker. Why? Because they have special issues that they need special attention. LeBron, he has his entourage. All LeBron had to do was probably go to Miami and talk to the owner and say, look, I'm going to stay at night over because I have my business associates, my confidants, that we have things that we need to take care of. So that could have nullified this, because then the ownership would have knew LeBron was staying. He could have chartered his plane and do those other things. But you got to realize LeBron has worked on his brand. And when people do, when you say that, why can't it be his associates? Why can't it be his, you know, his business partners? So when you do that and you call posse, I don't think that Phil was trying to be racist. But you think about it. If it's Pac-Man Jones, you would say his posse, his crew. If it's Allen Iverson, you probably would have said the same thing. If it's Marshawn Lynch, you'd say it's posse. Now, think about it. If it's Russell Wilson, he's getting a group of guys together to try to get a basketball. You think it would be Russell Wilson and his posse?
That's an excellent point.
You wouldn't.
In fact, in the ESPN article, it's Russell Wilson and his co-investors or his business associates.
There you go. So LeBron has a valid point, no matter how people look at it. Now, I don't think Phil was trying to be racist. But I think that both of these guys, I think that LeBron was disrespectful to his team, his coach, and everyone for not getting on the plane. But at the same sense, LeBron's worked hard to establish a multi-billion-dollar industry. So he wants to be held in regard. Say, look, don't call my business associates my posse. I'm not into that. It's my business partner. But so I think that I understand where LeBron's coming from.
Here's LeBron James when asked about Phil Jackson's comments.
The title for young African Americans is the word posse. You know, so we see the success that we had, but then it is always someone that lets you know how far we still have to go as African Americans. You know, and I just don't believe that Phil Jackson would have used that same term if he was doing business with someone else, you know, working with another team, or if he was working with anybody in sports that was owning a team that wasn't African-American and they had a group of guys around him that he didn't agree with what they did, I don't think he would have called him a posse. To use that label, and if you go and read the definition of what the word posse is, it's not what I've built over my career. It's not what I stand for. It's not what my family stands for. And I believe the only reason he used that word because he see young African-Americans trying to make a difference. We're not going to let Phil Jackson's comments stop us from doing what we need to do. It just gives us extra motivation, and it's just still sad, though, to see that people at the top always want to try to put guys in power down.
I want to start with this. Lo, I agree with what you were saying right before LeBron's comments, in the sense that, you know what? He's earned the right to come out and say, these are my associates. Call them by what they are. I don't like the name posse. I like associates. Now, people get upset about that, and rightfully so. Everyone can get offended by everything these days. Everyone has a right to their opinion. But people don't rise to the top of their business, of their empire, of their industry, because they let little things slide by. All right? Try posting a video from something that happened in an MLB game on YouTube. Watch how fast the MLB shuts you down and has that removed. And then you get your warning from YouTube that you violated your user agreement. Professional sports do it all the time. If you try to create any sort of website that uses the word football and talks about the NFL and you might consider the colors red and blue, the NFL will file a cease and desist. That doesn't necessarily mean they feel that you're trying to take over their business. They're protecting their brand. Michael Buffer, the Let's Get Ready to You-Know-What guy. Okay.
We all know. You can't even do that noise.
We all know him. We all know how he gets paid.
Sure. I'm getting sued.
He's making more money having a team of lawyers sue people for using those words, which he's trademarked, using them on radio, TV, anywhere. He's got more money coming in through those lawsuits than he does from actual speaking engagements.
Wow.
People rise to a level of prominence because they are detail-oriented.
Sure.
So whether you like LeBron or not, he doesn't want his associates called posse. His brand, his business, which is worth over $1 billion. Let's not fool ourselves. Nike signed him to a lifetime contract worth $1 billion. That's before basketball earnings. That's before the Beats investments and everything else he's got going on. This is a billion-dollar brand. He wants to be called associates. You call them associates. That's how it works. You can complain all you want that LeBron's complaining and being too sensitive. He's got a brand. He's got an image. He's got a business. This is how he's running that business. You don't have to agree with him. You just have to realize he's the best in the game. He's making more money than anyone else. He's the face of the NBA. That's how you get there, because you're not sloppy, because you don't pay attention to detail. It's because you're on top of everything and you have things done a particular way. All the greats are control freaks. Sure. You think Steve Jobs just showed up at 10:30 in the morning, checked a couple emails and went home? No. Steve Wynn down at the Wynn, wait until we're down there over the weekend checking out his properties. Steve Wynn literally signed off on every single decision that was made in those two casinos. You go by and see a bathroom knob that's gold, but it's curved instead of square. Steve Wynn signed off on that. Every chandelier, every poker chip, every cup or mug or glass that's used in that place, he signed off on it. Why do you think it's the classiest joint in Vegas? Because the guy at the top of the chain who rose to prominence is detail-oriented, and he's going to let little things slip through the cracks. You can think LeBron is being sensitive, but that's how he got to the top, detail-oriented.
Yeah, you know, Steve's done a phenomenal job at his property when you think about what Steve's been able to do. It's unprecedented. My question to you, Joe.
If Puma's listening, he's going to love you right now for saying that. We'll let the listeners in on that inside joke on Friday.
My question to you, did Pat Riley since say that? Was his statement like just because LeBron and his posse? And then is that Phil Jackson repeating what Pat Riley's words? If that is, then he should take that up with Pat Riley instead of, you know.
It does not say that in the quotes or any of the articles. It's possible Riley has used that term. I'm not certain, and it's not there right now, but that's an interesting point.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, was he upset? Maybe he just said posse because now all Phil's doing is repeating the exact verbatim. So then LeBron should take it up, you know, with both these individuals. But I totally agree with LeBron on certain these issues. He understands he's built this. It's hard to build what he's built. And he's done it smart way. He protects his brand. You see, he won't really come out on certain issues because of the fact he understands he still wants to sell sneakers. So it's interesting perspective.
Now, there are a lot of you that feel that LeBron is being whiny or complainy or just being typical LeBron James. Clay Travis, who is a national radio host on Fox Sports, you hear him before we come in. He's a friend of the program. We've had him on quite a bit, and he does tremendous work. These were his thoughts this morning on LeBron James.
I like LeBron James on the court. I think he's a total off the court. I think that Draymond Green, when he called LeBron James a little was being accurate. Because if you're the greatest basketball player in the world, first of all, why do you care about this story at all? Nobody on earth would have even paid attention to this story if Maverick Carter had not sent out a tweet saying that it was racially insensitive or inflammatory or trying to demean LeBron James. Nobody would have even seen this quote. Nobody would have even seen this story. That's the truth. Secondly, if you're the greatest player in the world, why in the world do you care what Phil Jackson says about you? Especially when it's not offensive and you just decide to pick a word and brand it as offensive, and you have all these white people in sports media who are afraid to tell the truth, which is call LeBron James a b- and say he's making up an insult here that wasn't even there. Posse is the same as entourage. It's the exact same word.
I like Clay. I respect Clay. In this situation, I disagree with Clay. He's at the top because he cares. He cares, and he's at the top. That's not a coincidence. Clay Travis cares about a lot of things. Calls himself the hardest working man in media. Online TV show, radio show. You see him everywhere. He's great on social media because he cares. Because he cares about his brand. Because he cares about the little details. The guys who don't rise to the top are the ones who let the details fall through the cracks. They're the ones who get fat in the offseason, who get trouble in the offseason, who get lazy in the fourth quarter. They don't care necessarily. The ones who pay attention to every little detail, those are the ones who rise to the top. They're control freaks. And it might be a personality defect, but it comes in very handy when you're trying to run a business and you're trying to establish a brand. Why would the NFL care? And this is a personal experience. 8 years ago, when we launched that website that got me started in media, we were bringing in, 40,000 people a month a year into it. It's called National Football Post. We use the colors red and blue. Immediate cease and desist from the NFL. Why would the NFL care about a two-bit football website that's bringing in virtually no traffic? Why? Because that's why they got to where they are. You're the best in the business because you care, because you pay attention to the details, because when someone uses a word you're not particularly fond of to characterize your group, you speak out on it, you correct people, and you get the brand back to where you want it to be. You don't have to agree with LeBron. You can say whatever you want, but he's where he is, and you're where you are. And recognize the fact that because he does what he does, that's why he's worth $1 billion. Drew Bledsoe's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Welcome back to this Warrior Wednesday, brought to you by Walnut Creek Porsche, a 2016 Premier Porsche dealer. Bruno Mars tickets coming up in about 14 minutes based on a trivia question, baseball related, might have something to do with what happened regarding the announcement of the managers of the year. Just a little hint, hint.
I was going to tell you something. I was going to say, stop.
Do it.
Wait a minute.
Do it.
Stop.
Do it. Keep it going.
Oh, wait a minute.
Nice.
That's enough.
Stop.
That's enough.
Please
stop.
Not enough.
Please stop.
Always leave the audience wanting more.
Rule
number
one. Go ahead and take a chorus off.
Please do not give them everything.
That's all I got.
All right, we're going to the phones. Super Bowl champion, four-time Pro Bowler, owner of Double Back Wine in Walla Walla, Washington. More importantly, one of the best guests we've ever had on the program, former NFL quarterback Drew Bledsoe with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Drew. How are you?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. How's it going down there?
Doing great as well. Real quick college football question. Your alma mater, Washington State, what do you think about what they've been able to do after the slow start, especially what Heisman candidate Luke Falk has done at quarterback?
It's been pretty remarkable. You know, I mean, I think we've got to fix something, though. It's 2 years in a row, we schedule these two FCS teams, and we're like 15-2 against the Pac-12 the last 2 years, and we're 0-2 against the Big Sky. And so we've got to figure out how to beat the Big Sky, and if we can do that, then we enter into a bigger conversation. But really, really proud of what they've done, and Mike Leach has done a great job 2 years in a row of, you know, with the team that started out, I think, 0-2 the last 2 years, and he's found a way to get the team playing hard for him and to finish the season really, really strong. So it's going to be pretty exciting, though. We got our two biggest tests of the year coming up. We got to go to Colorado and play the Buffs, and then we've got the huge Apple Cup game up in Pullman a week from Friday that will decide the Pac-12 North.
Drew, you know you're our guy, so hey, bro, want to make sure that you send us some wine over here. Joe likes red, I like red, so
we're getting thirsty, Drew.
We'll pub you up, baby. We'll let you come on and talk wine. We got you.
Man, I really appreciate that, and I'm happy to do that. It's doubleback.com, and it's got a spot right there where you put your Visa number in. And once you put that Visa, they'll ship you as much wine as you want, Lo.
God, dog! Really, bro? Really?
And it's the wine business. It's not the wine charity.
Oh! Cut my legs off and call me stubby. That was nice. So you're not going to give me wine. I might
send you some.
I know, bro. you beat me at Fresno State. We're winning the game with a couple seconds left. You throw that dime in the corner of the end zone. It broke my heart. We were freaking – you guys were ranked like 15 or 13 in the country. That was a friggin' unbelievable game. I still haven't forgiven you for that.
That was one of the better games I was ever involved in at any point. You know, it seemed like it was truly one of those games where the last team with the ball was going to be the win. It was going to be the winner. I think there was something like four lead changes in the last 2 minutes or something crazy like that, with Dilfer going crazy and we were slinging it around. That was really an exciting game.
It really was. Hey, looking at what's going on around the National Football League, and kind of tell the listeners kind of what Tony Romo's perspective is now. You've seen a young gun. He was young and brash. He comes in the league when you're, you know, in the latter part of your career, kind of that transition. And then New England, you've seen young Brady, what happened. How is Tony handled this? And kind of just tell us, kind of the listeners, you know, been on both sides of this. Hey, you know, what's the reality of this?
It's a really, really hard thing because you have simultaneously very conflicting emotions. You know, especially, you know, for the biggest similarity for me was when I was in New England to what Tony's going through, because I'd been there for a long time, had been kind of the leader of the organization, you know, been a quarterback for a long time, and then get hurt, and this other guy comes in, and it really truly is it's really hard to kind of balance your excitement and for your team winning and you know, all the work you put in with those guys that you've gone to battle with, and you really want them to win, and you want the best for your team always. But at the same time, man, it's heartbreaking to see your team winning and having success, and you're standing on the sidelines, and you don't get to be, you don't feel like you're a part of it. Even if you're, you know, when Tony's been contributing, and I contributed when I was in New England and helped out the guy that was playing and all of those things. But when you're used to being the guy, and all of a sudden you have to stand there and watch your team have success, it's really heartbreaking. So it's a difficult thing, man. You know, I always, anytime we have one of these conversations, I always make sure that people understand that that as a professional athlete, if you get paid to play a game, you don't really get to complain about the world being fair. You know, I mean, you won the lottery if you get to play a game for a living. But with that said, it truly is a difficult thing.
One quarterback who's been doing nothing but watching is Jared Goff, and he's going to be thrown into the mix this Sunday. What sort of things is he going to have to fight through in himself to make this debut at such a young age? Because if I'm not mistaken, you were 21 when you made your debut?
Yeah, I was 21 when I started, and I think there is some benefit, for Jared being able to watch for half the season before he has to jump in and go. But it's a crazy thing. You know, anytime you make the jump from one level to the next, things move faster. I've equated it to sticking your head in a popcorn machine and trying to make decisions. It kind of feels like that sometimes, but, my hope for him, you know, my hope for him is that they do a good job of calling plays for him and allow him and script it for success. You know, with a young quarterback, you know, if you're calling plays for him, you got to understand, number one, you know, what kind of things he likes to do, what throws he likes to make, and you get some of those things going early. Do everything you can to keep him off his back. Don't let him get hit. You know, if that means you got to block up a bunch of guys, you know, if you got to block 8 and, you know, or even block 9 and send 2 guys, just don't get him hit. And then you have to have a very definitive plan for getting a young quarterback back on track if things aren't going well. You got to have a series of plays that you know you can go to that allow them to get some completions and get the team moving. And if things aren't going well, you got to be able to do that. So I really hope they take great care of him from a play calling and scheme standpoint, so that he can have some measure of success in his first action.
4-time Pro Bowler and owner of Double Back Wine in Walla Walla, Washington, Drew Bledsoe joining Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Being here in the Bay Area, we kind of saw it coming because we're very close to the situation and we're very excited about the prospects of Derek Carr moving forward. But the rest of the nation seems to be taking notice that Carr, not just a possible franchise quarterback, but could be the MVP of the league. What have you seen from Derek Carr this year, and does he embody and display what the league should be looking for in an MVP candidate?
Yeah, he sure does. You know, anybody who's really paying attention, you know, the last couple of years, it's not a huge surprise. You know, you look at guys in the quarterback position, so interesting because, a quarterback at times can go play very, very well, and the team can still lose. And you know, last year I watched what was going on with Derek Carr. He was playing at an extremely high level a year ago. Playing at a level that from a quarterback standpoint should have allowed them to win a lot more games. And now it seems like the team around him is really rising up and starting to play at a higher level with him. So it's not a huge surprise. But beyond that, I haven't met him, but you know, just seems to absolutely represent the best of what you would want in a person to represent your league as an MVP. You know, he's just one of those guys that seems to do everything right. You know, very intense guy, great competitor, but at the end of the day, ultimately just super classy. And so I'm really hopeful not only that he's strongly considered as MVP this year, but I'm just really happy to see him become one of the young faces of the NFL going forward.
Drew, how'd you sign it up, and how the coaching end up for you guys as a head football coach? How'd that work out for you guys?
Oh man, I knew it was.
You know,
I knew it was coming. we had a heartbreaker on Friday, man. We lost by 1 point in the second round of the playoffs. And my kid had a great game. It was kind of one of those games. You know, very good team, but they also blocked a punt and got an onside kick and all of those things. All those things they had to do to beat us. So, but it was great. John had a great year, and he's still weighing some options. But I think he may end up at Washington State, which would be pretty fun.
Well, great. Well, really appreciate you coming on the show. Real quick, tell people where they can get this great, amazing wine, and why is it so good when it touches your lips?
Oh man,
it's a great question.
Appreciate it. No, you can go to doubleback.com. That's our website. We're up here in Walla Walla, Washington, but there's great fruit being grown up here, and for you California, you know, people down there that are used to such great wine from Napa, I would challenge you to give us a shot and see how we stack up against some of your great Cabernets down there. One thing people should know is that we just launched yesterday on our family wine, which is our second label. It's the stuff we drink around the house, which is still really good juice. You know, for the holidays, for the next week or so, we're doing free shipping on the family wine. So if you go on there, we'll ship it to you for free.
Super Bowl champ, four-time Pro Bowler Drew Bledsoe, one of our favorite guests, with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Drew, as always, thank you for being so generous with your time, and we look forward to catching up again sometime in the future.
Always a pleasure, guys.
And thanks for your wine, too. Appreciate that, buddy.
Right on. I'll send it on down there. Love you.
He's a smooth one. Tried to hustle him into some free wine there, and he's like, oh, I'll tell you how you get your wine. You go to the website, plug in your
credit
card. I heard that. I was like, damn, Lo, where's, come on, Lo, throw some juice around.
Exactly.
I got the game up September 26, 1992, Washington State 39, Fresno State 37. Close game that you two went back and forth. Can't find the box score. I want to see the numbers from the game. How'd you do in that one?
You know, I put it down. But it was...
Of course. Why did I even bother asking?
No, it wasn't about me. I'm just saying...
No.
Watching these two quarterbacks go out of Joe, you would have been... it was unbelievable.
Who was yours? Was it Dilfer?
Dilfer
versus Bledsoe.
Yeah.
It's a nice matchup. Tell you what, another nice matchup is turning the show over to Dan Dibley for NFL Soundtable. That's coming up next with Bruno Mars tickets. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The play-by-play voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy, joins us coming up at 9:05. Now, back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
Literally, the last sentence I heard from Lo Neal before we came back for this segment is, I'm a smart guy.
I got us some free wine. The text line, what did it say? to read that text, what did they hit me with?
The text line, 95795, is split right down the middle. Some of them love your singing. Some of them want you to stop singing. I'm in the pro singing category.
As am I.
In doses, though. I want doses. I don't need Elton John ballads going all night long here. I just like the short dose. I think you're fantastic. Just stick to the jab. I don't need any big right hooks. Just stick to that jab, man. Establish the jab. Work your way around.
Yeah.
Control that ring.
I understand. Andre Wardle.
Yeah, be smart. Be
trying
cerebral.
Outpoint him. I just was trying to find the box score from UV Bledsoe in that thrilling game. I did get the season stats. Lo, you couldn't get 1,000 yards. 988 on the ground. Yeah. All you needed was a dozen more, baby.
What was his yards per carry?
5.4.
Yeah.
Very solid. Back there with Ron Rivers, and who else was back there?
Anthony Dago. I mean, I had two guys get drafted. I mean, I wasn't the only running back, so I wanted to share the wealth.
Yeah.
Every two times it's a first down. Duh.
You're a giver.
I mean, think about that, Joe. Every time I touch the rock, two times in a row, it's a first down. They could have lined up and gave me the ball all day, coach, but I didn't want it. I lined up in a game.
Look. This started as me defending you, and it's getting increasingly more. I'm just getting angrier and angrier listening to this, and I'm going to crap all over him.
Hey, coach.
Hey, coach.
When we played Washington, they were trying to give me the ball, feed me the ball. I went in at halftime, and I said, Coach Sweeney, let me go block, give it to Ron, let's line up in two back. I deferred. true friend. And again, Coach Sweeney started crying, Carmelo. Hey, you know what this guy said? He's up for the Doak Walker. He doesn't want the ball. He wants to go hit somebody. And he's crying his halftime. You guys better respond. And this is Lorenzo Neal. Oh, Sweeney had us fired up.
And you're like, Coach, I told you that in confidence. Coach, why are you crying everywhere? I'm just trying to help the team. Okay, Bruno Mars tickets, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to give away Bruno Mars tickets. Now, here's the situation with him. You're going to win two tickets. Bruno's going to be at the SAP Center in San Jose. He's playing two shows. One of them's July 20th. One of them is November 3rd. The winner gets to pick which of the two shows they would like to go to. You're going to tell that to our crack staff, who's going to answer the winning phone call. And tickets for both shows go on sale November 21st at 10 a.m. LiveNation.com. Here's your trivia question. You knock this one out of the park. You will choose between which Bruno Mars show at SAP Center you want to see, the July 20th show or the November 3rd show. First one to get it right, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Who was the last NL rookie manager to win the Manager of the Year award? Yesterday, Dave Roberts was named Manager of the Year for the Los Angeles Dodgers in his rookie year. Before him, who was the last NL rookie manager to win Manager of the Year? 888-957-9570. And at this point, Wednesday, 8:45 segment, we turn the show over to Dan Dibley. Dibley, go ahead and take it from here, please.
It's time for the NFL Soundtable, Joe. Instead of a roundtable format, we go around the league with sound. And we start with the Arizona head coach, Bruce Arians, a team that has been struggling. Carson Palmer has been regressing. Father Time tapping him on the shoulder. Bruce Arians, though, says their explosive passing game, it's fine.
I think it's back, but we had seven explosives in the passing game, which we have not been getting. We get teams that want to stop the run. You should be able to beat one-on-one and get your matchups. So, yeah, I thought Carson was spot on, other than the one interception late in the game.
Spot on low or ferocious?
Well, this is a coach just saying, hey, look, I'm not going to sell any of my guys out. He understands that Carson has struggled. He understands his offense can't get it done anymore, and this is an big play type of offense. So I don't think it's back.
That offense has big-time problems. Larry Fitzgerald is the only bankable receiver on a team that at one point looked like they had like five bankable receivers. Michael Floyd is inconsistent. The Brown brothers who are playing there as well, you can't bank on them to catch. You got David Johnson and you got Larry Fitzgerald. And if you neutralize one or both, Arizona's got big problems. Carson Palmer looks jittery back there. After what happened in the playoffs, he looks jittery. And I got a feeling that Arizona's going to get to the postseason and the same damn thing's going to happen. It's going to be all on the line. And Palmer's not going to be able to handle the pressure.
Right now they're sitting 4-4-1. They're one game out of that second wild card spot. Miami, a team still very much in the thick of things, in part because of the play of their quarterback. So says the head coach, Adam Gase.
I think it's just been a combination of the entire group. I think he's done a good job of decision making. We really feel like we're in a decent group as far as what we're doing from week to week. Receivers and him are on the same page along with the tight ends. I think the protection has done, you know, the line has done a really good job as far as keeping him fairly protected. I know he takes some shots, but there's a couple times where he knows he's going to get hit because he's holding on to it. He's trying to take a shot down the field. So, you know, but for the most part, I think there is, you know, they've gotten in a pretty good groove and they're playing well together right now.
What do you think of the passing attack in Miami and your guy, who we know his name is Tannehill, people? Tannehill.
Look, he's a nice piece, but he's just a guy. He's not going to win you a Super Bowl. He's a guy that can manage some games at times, but he's not the answer. So Miami, though they're doing okay, they don't have the answer yet.
Four in a row for the Dolphins. Four in a row after a 1-4 start. Now, you beat Pittsburgh at home, Buffalo at home, the Jets at home, and you just went to San Diego and got a victory. The team is improving, and that's what you want to see under Adam Gase.
Sure.
It's more about Gase than it is about Tannehill at this point. You haven't had any consistency in the front office, with the coaching staff, or at the quarterback position at all since Dan Marino. So get it right with the coach and then let him make the decision. Tannehill's been a little bit better, but quite frankly, at this point in his career, he should be playing to this level and or above. The guy was a first-round pick out of Texas A&M. To pat him on the back for what we've seen the last few weeks, it feels like we're underselling the true story here, which is he hasn't been good enough up until this point.
Miami, a game and a half back at Denver for that second wild card spot. Jared Goff going to make his debut for the Rams this Sunday. Jeff Fisher is very confident in the youngster.
It was a progression. It wasn't a spontaneous decision. It was a progression. It's a gut feel. It's not an easy thing. It's a gut feel. It takes time. And we gave it time. And you know, it's the right decision right now. So I'm looking forward to watching him play. Backing him up. And he's going to do well. He's going to have some moments, like all young quarterbacks do. But he's going to do well.
He's going to do well. Jared Goff, for his part, hopes that's the case.
I'm going to play as best I can. Whatever happens, happens, man. I mean, I'm just going to go out there and work hard every day and hopefully play well on Sundays, hopefully win and do the best I can. I mean, that's all you can do. And I feel confident myself. And I know my teammates feel confident in me. And I'm going to go out there and hopefully play well and win.
Tough spot for Jared Lowe. Do you think he's primed to play well?
I'll tell you right now, if they don't have Gurley and they're not running the ball well, let me tell you, I will put this on paper. Write it down today. He throws two picks. He might even throw more. Miami is one thing. They got some exotic defenses. Phillip Rivers threw four. They're going to come after him, and they're going to disguise him. And if he has some pressure, he hears a little rattles, little people around him, he might get hit. He might just throw a couple because he's going to be scared back there in the pocket, Joe.
Take what the defense gives you. No one is expecting you to throw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. No one's even expecting you to go out and win. Just realize this is the first of what could be many, many starts in the National Football League. You don't need to do too much. Lowe's exactly right. You've got to be able to establish Todd Gurley. Why do you think Prescott's having so much success in Dallas? A great O-line that's setting up a great ground attack, which is opening up down the field passing lanes for Dak Prescott. Just take what the defense gives you. No one's going to come off that game if Jared Goff protects the football, leads some scoring drives, and go, oh, well, he's only averaging 6 yards per attempt. He really dinked and dunked. It's your first NFL start. Dinking and dunking is just fine.
Team averaging about 15 points a game last in the National Football League. Green Bay, a team in turmoil. Mike McCarthy, a head coach on the hot seat. McCarthy says he's doing just fine.
Let's just state the facts. I mean, I'm a highly successful NFL head coach. So, you know, with that, I've never looked at the ride to this point as smooth and as whatever the words you used. To me, it's always bumpy, and to me, that's the joy of it. I mean, that's this game. That's how hard it is in the NFL. So, you know, this is really what you did last year or 2010. As we know, it doesn't factor, and it's even more so with the parity and the youth of the team. So, to me, you have to stay in tune with the now.
Packers 4-5 low and a head coach who is defending himself.
Take a look at this. Have you ever heard Belichick say, I'm a highly successful coach? Have you ever heard Kaufman say, I'm a highly successful coach?
Never.
You think, have you ever heard the coach Pete Carroll say, I'm a highly successful coach? They don't have to say it because they know they are. So this guy's in trouble, and he knows it.
Green Bay has lost 4 of 5, the last 3 of which the defense has surrendered 37 points per game. That's acceptable if you're in the Big 12. Completely unacceptable if you're in the National Football League, where the clock doesn't stop on first downs like it does in college football. The big problem in Green Bay started with Aaron Rodgers, but people were wrong. Now everyone's moving to Mike McCarthy saying he's the problem. They're getting warmer, but the actual problem is general manager Ted Thompson. Ted's done a great job with this franchise over the last decade plus. The problem is he has failed in the draft the last few years, much like you've seen from Trent Baalke in San Francisco. And when your team is 95% dependent upon the draft because they don't want to spend money in free agency, that's fine. But you got to hit on those picks, son, and they haven't been hitting on those picks in Green Bay, and you're seeing it now. Defense can't make plays. Rodgers doesn't have weapons. McCarthy can't out-scheme the opposition. And as a result, 4 of your last 5 games have been defeats.
Still, though, very much in the thick of it in a pretty watered-down NFC. That, Joe, is your NFL sound table.
Thank you, Dibs. Ian in Hayward, congratulations. You're winning 2 tickets to see Bruno Mars. You get to choose which show you'd like to go see at SAP, either November 3rd or July 20th. Just let our crack staff know the answer to the question. Matt Williams in 2014, the last time a rookie manager won NL Manager of the Year. Matt Williams. And then this past year, Dave Roberts just got it over Joe Maddon.
And you know what? When you're talking about Green Bay real quick, Joe, talking about why I think it's coaching has a lot to do with it. When you don't have the athletes and the talent to do certain things, you disguise it. You run more rub routes. You get more of the receivers doing crossing routes. So now you're forcing guys to have to switch things and running through zones because you can't beat man coverage.
Excellent point. Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, he's coming up next for Warriors Roundtable. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Back in 2 minutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.